Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is Buck Carson with Classic Chrome, and you're listening to us live on the Road Hogs Radio Network. We're coming to you live today from the Texas Motor Speedway in sunny Fort Worth, Texas. I've got a great show lined up for you today. We're trying something new, so bear with us in any technical difficulties. It's going to be our first live episode on location. I've got some great guests with me today, so stay tuned. It should be a lot of fun. Tonight, or today's program is brought to you in part by the Cyclomos Motorcycle Museum, Wheels Through Time, RetroCycle, Carson Classic Motors, Georgia Motorcycle History, the first 60 years, 1899 to 1959, the Rocky Mountain Motorcycle Museum, and finally, the Race of the Century, presented by Motorcycle Cannonball. If you or your business are interested in becoming sponsors of this program, please email us directly at classicchromeradio@gmail.com. We can get a great advertising package worked out for you and be more than happy to help promote you or your organization or your business. Some announcements for today. Wheels Through Time is now open for the 2015 season. Museum hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. from Thursday to Monday. The museum is closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Admission prices are $12 for adults, $10 for seniors 65 and over, and $6 for children. Now, don't forget, Wheels Through Time is offering a special opportunity this year to win an antique motorcycle. The annual museum raffle will be held in November of 2015, with the final prize being a 1939 Harley-Davidson knucklehead bobber, built with original parts right there in the Wheels Through Time restoration shop. You can find out more information about the raffle and purchase your tickets today by visiting the museum website at wheelsthroughtime.com. Calling all old bike enthusiasts. On May 23rd, be sure to come on out to World Golf Village in St. Augustine, Florida, for the 16th annual Riding in the History event. This world-class event is one of the finest concours d'élégance shows in the United States. It's one of the finest concours d'élégance shows in the United States, and it's been featured in magazines and television programs all over the world. On a yearly basis, anywhere from 300 to 500 of the finest old machines in the world are displayed around the lake at the World Golf Village. Famed motorcycle racer David Aldana will be the Grand Marshal for 2015. And also taking place throughout the weekend is the Grand Marshal Ride on May 22nd and a youth judging program. I'm happy to be a part of that, taking place during the concourse ceremony. Riding into History is a 501c3 organization that donated more than $350,000 to a variety of charities. All donations for 2015 will be given to the K9s for Warriors organization. And you can find out about the event and how to register by going to ridingintohistory.org. Finally, thanks to the wide success of the previous versions of the Motorcycle Kickstart Classic, our friends at American Iron Magazine will be sponsoring a special ride this year for vintage motorcycle enthusiasts. So all bikes of all years, makes, and models are welcome. The 2015 event will take place from May 28th to May 30th in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, where daily scheduled rides will leave from the Wheels Through Time Museum. Riders aboard electric start motorcycles are asked to ride at the back of the group, only to pick up the parts that will inevitably fall off the old bikes in front. Registration forms are available online, and you can find those by going to aimag.com. Don't forget, you can search for the Kickstart Classic on Facebook by going to Kickstart Classic Motorcycle Ride. So today we're live on location at Texas Motor Speedway here in Fort Worth, Texas, at the Pate Transportation Meet. This automobile and motorcycle show and swap meet is one of the largest in the world. It's been going on for a long time now. The crowds are getting tremendously big. Over the last few days, we've probably seen 10,000 or 15,000 people walking in, and that's just the end of the week. Now we're on the weekend, so it should be interesting to see what happens today and tomorrow. I'm reporting to you from the headquarters of the AMCA Cherokee chapter. We're putting on the annual Concours de Pate show, the first annual Concours de Pate. It's a wonderful concours show. We've got a lot of bikes involved. Today, joining me on the program, I've got some great guests. It's going to be our first live show, so we're giving this a shot, and hopefully it works out well. I've got some guests representing the most prominent motorcycle museums, clubs, and shops in the world, and we also have a show sponsor here with us, and we're looking forward to catching up. So without further ado, let's get the show started. Here with me first is Steve Klein, president of the AMCA Cherokee chapter, and he's involved here kind of taking the charge of the motorcycle division of the Pate Swap Meet. Steve, welcome to the show, and can you tell us a little bit about your involvement here at Pate?
Buck, this is the 43rd year for Pate. A lot of history here. It's an all-transportation meet, steam era cars all the way to modern racing. Pate has not been successful in attracting a motorcycle venue through John Newman with Sagebrush Cycles and some of our other members suggested we approach Pate about 8 months ago about acquiring some spaces. We have a little over 300 spaces. We've also set up the largest public display of vintage motorcycles in Texas history. So for our first shot, we're very pleased today.
So how many members of the Cherokee chapter do you have here with you, Steve? And are you happy so far with the success of the event?
Buck, we started arriving Tuesday and setting up Wednesday. And to be honest, we had more volunteers than we really needed. But, you know, we've got 236 members, I believe, now. And they've just come out in full force. And we've got the most enthusiastic, energetic chapter in the MCA today. We're real proud of these people.
I definitely agree with you. Now, Steve, this is the first annual event for the Cherokee chapter as far as involvement here. Do you see it growing in the future and getting bigger?
Pate Management is having a meeting with us in the morning, and honestly, we need about 5 acres of space out here ourselves. There are over 11,000 vendors' booth space at this event. Watch us on YouTube in the future. We do have a drone flyover so that we can show you folks the sheer size of this event. It's on par with Hershey. It's a huge event.
Now, Steve, the AMCA Cherokee chapter is the fastest-growing chapter within the AMCA National Network. Can you tell us a little bit about the other events you put on throughout the year and, you know, how to join and a little bit about the club itself?
Very easy. CherokeeAMCA.org. We've got a great website. All of our events are listed annually. We support and promote the AMCA and all of their national events and road runs. We do a national road run every 3 years. We do our own road run every spring and every fall. And Buck, as you know, we're the chapter that's known as We Ride. The oldest motorcycle in our concourse event this year is a 1903 Rex. It's actually going to compete in the Cannonball, next Cannonball. It will compete. There's enough knowledge out there. We'll get this bike back together. But we've got bikes all the way up through the 80s, competition class, race class, drag racing, a lot of Cannonball motorcycles. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Oklahoma, Arkansas area, it's worth the drive over to come see us at this event.
Excellent. Now, what events do you have coming up after Pate?
Well, weeks of rest, Buck. Just Kickers. If you go to Just Kickers Blogspot, they are one of the sponsors of our event. They have a Just Kickers event in Ardmore, Oklahoma, in the end of May at the old Ardmore Drag Racetrack. We're helping them support that event. It's not actually our event. But we've got a great group of membership. I think the average age in the AMCA is like 60 years old. We're attracting a lot of 20, 30-some age group members. We're starting a new future of our sport program. So those of you that are tuned in, we accept all makes, models, types of motorcycles. And if you're younger than the age of 60, we certainly want you to be a part of our organization.
Absolutely. Now, I know you've got a lot of other folks here that are representing museums and clubs. Can you name a few that are here?
John Parham's actually here on the show with us today. National Motorcycle Museum, Anamosa, Iowa, brand new facility, absolutely a destination organization, location. Dale Walks Wheels Through Time has supported us since we started planning this project. And we've got some magazine support. American Iron Magazine is a sponsor. Cycle Source Magazine is a sponsor. Thunder Roads Magazine. Of course, our friends Revival Cycles from Austin, Texas are here. They just had over 30,000 people at their hand-built motorcycle show in Austin a couple of weeks ago. We've just got a tremendous amount of support, energy and enthusiasm and momentum going with the Cherokee chapter. I really don't know how many motorcycles we have in the event. We need to count them. I think we're probably pushing 160-170 machines, and I have no idea how many new members we've signed up in the last couple of days. So it's been an extremely, extremely beneficial event for the AMCA and our chapter.
Well, Steve, the last question I have for you, then we're going to go to a quick commercial break, is of all the bikes you've seen out here this weekend, what would you say is your favorite bike?
Yes. I love them all, Buck.
Excellent answer.
I mean, every make, model, and type of motorcycle is here within this parking lot, and I'm just amazed at the passion that people have for a specific period in the history of this sport. They're all really beautiful machines. Everybody has their own favorite. I happen to like them all.
Very well said. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Mr. John Parham of the National Motorcycle Museum. So we'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Looking for a great place to put your kickstand down? Take a trip through time to scenic Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee, home of the Cyclomost Motorcycle Museum, where in Rust we trust. Be sure to take a long stroll through a large collection of vintage motorcycles and memorabilia representing the two-wheeled history of the United States. After shopping the extensive gift shop, prop your feet up in a rocking chair on the front porch and take in the sights and sounds of history all around you. While visiting, don't forget to check out the world-class Cyclomost Restoration Shop, where history comes to life. Need help getting your classic motorcycle back on the road? Look no further than the experts at Cyclomost Speed Shop, who specialize in all aspects of vintage motorcycles, from engine and transmission builds to complete restorations. With a hard-to-find parts inventory and friendly specialists at your service, Cyclomost can handle your needs. Located at 319 East Main Street, Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee. And also online at www.cyclomost.com. For museum hours and all shop inquiries, please call 615-670-8942. You can also get daily updates from the museum and shop by checking out Cyclomost on Facebook and Instagram. How often do you get the chance to see and hear a rare piece of history as it comes roaring to life? With the tagline of the museum that runs, chances like this occur daily at the All-American Wheels Through Time Transportation Museum. Set at the base of the Blue Ridge Parkway through the Smoky Mountains in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, the grounds of the museum are impeccable and absolutely peaceful. With over 40,000 square feet of antique motorcycles and automobiles from all corners of history presented in perfect running condition, Wheels Through Time offers an enchanting and invigorating step through history for all. As seen on the hit television show, What's in the Barn, Wheels Through Time offers a breathtaking assortment of mechanical history to be taken in by its visitors. Watch as the hard-working crew fires up one extremely rare motorcycle and car after another and gaze into the vast collections of parts, accessories, and memorabilia presented in display in this living and breathing time capsule. While relaxing on the beautiful museum grounds, be sure to visit the gift shop and purchase a ticket to win a completely restored 1939 Harley-Davidson Knucklehead Bobber from the Wheels Through Time Restoration Shop. You can find out more information about the museum that runs by visiting www.wheelsthroughtime.com or checking out the official Facebook and Instagram pages.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Now, don't forget, Wheels Through Time is open for the 2015 season. They are open Thursday through Monday, and that's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The museum is closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And the website, once again, is wheelsthroughtime.com. So we're here live on location at the Texas Motor Speedway for the Pate Transportation Meet. Before the break, we were talking with Mr. Steve Klein, president of the AMCA Cherokee chapter. And right now it's my honor to be joined by John Parham of the National Motorcycle Museum. John, welcome to the show. And if you would, tell us a little bit about the museum and you know, your setup here.
The National Motorcycle Museum is located in Anamosa, Iowa, in the eastern part of the state. We've got 400 motorcycles on display. Pretty well, we sort of say, from Ariel to Sundap. So all makes and models, all brands, and something for everybody, whether you like early turn of the century, and we mean like 19th century, through the Japanese bike that you rode when you were a kid. But we got a board track race. racetrack and an old original gas station from the 20s, and we're open 7 days a week, and people who come really enjoy it.
Well, excellent. Now, you've been here. What ticket did you get in, and what have your been impressions, or what have your impressions been of the event so far?
We got in Wednesday night. I'm friends with Steve, and Steve, starting with the chapter, starting this new event, we wanted to support him. So came from Iowa. It's about 1,200 miles. We got in, and really, this is a wonderful event. We go to Hershey, and this is quite similar to Hershey out in Pennsylvania, but adding the motorcycles to this event is just a really great idea. For a first-year event, this was, a huge success. Most events would just be lucky to get this many motorcycles on display. The bike show is great. There's almost 300 vendor spaces, and it's just going to grow and get bigger.
Well, very cool. John, what kind of events does the museum have coming up? I know you've got a busy schedule, so you got to get out, but what kind of events do you have coming up there at the museum?
We have our annual vintage rally. It's not a large rally, but each year we do a different rally, and it sort of ties in with we have a changing exhibit, which is about 3,000 square feet. Our exhibit space this year is going to be old school choppers. We've got about 24 old school choppers from the 60s and 70s, so it's going to be some pretty cool stuff. Our last one was dirt track racing, and prior to that we did old drag race bikes. So the main thing would be the vintage rally coming up, and that's June 20th, and then we have a couple of smaller road runs that we do, and then, of course, every Labor Day weekend is Davenport, Iowa, which is the largest antique meet in the country, and we get lots of visitors then.
Well, excellent. Well, John, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know you've got a busy booth going on out there, so I don't want to keep you too long, but it's been an honor to speak with you, and thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. We appreciate being invited, and we'll be back.
Well, excellent. Next up, I've got Mr. John Newman from Sagebrush Cycles with me. John and I go back a long way. We did the Motorcycle Cannonball together in 2014, and John is one of the premier shops in the world for antique Harleys of the 20s and 30s, and he's the go-to guy for tech help. So, John, welcome to the show, and how are you doing today?
Thanks, Buck. Thanks for having me on the show. I've been very impressed by this meet. I didn't know what to expect as a vendor. Most of my stuff, like you said, is pre 1936, and typically when you go to a swap meet for the first time, you set up and you watch people walk by, and anybody even knows what it is I have. But this meet has been totally different. I've been blown away by how much I've actually sold here in the last 2 days, really.
Now, what would you say that the crowd has been like? It's been, you know, more people throughout the week, or if you had to put a guesstimation, how many folks are here?
Well, I had to guess on Thursday, I probably had 500 to 600 people come through my booth, and it just grew on Friday, and today I can't keep up. As a matter of fact, I need to get back as soon as possible.
I hear you. Well, I won't keep you too long. The last question I have for you, I know you were involved with doing a dinner ride last night to a VIP party, which I'm hoping we're going to have Mr. Pal Shorey on board here shortly. Tell us a little bit about the dinner ride.
Well, it was a typical antique motorcycle ride where you take off a certain amount of riders and you end up with a lot less at the very end. But it was an enjoyable ride. We took kind of a long route to get over to Kyle's place. And even though it was Friday afternoon traffic, it was a lot of fun.
Okay. And, John, my last question for you is, where can people go to find out about Sagebrush Cycles or get in touch with you for any help in their early bikes?
Well, we just launched a new website. It's called sagebrushcycle.com. And you can go there and get all kinds of information on the services we offer and the kind of parts we have for sale. And then, of course, it has all kinds of contact information there. You can email us. You can call us.
Excellent. Well, John, I want to thank you for being on the show today. I know you got a busy booth as well, so I'll let you get back to it. But best of luck selling, and we'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Thanks again, Buck, for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. And I got to say thank you to the Cherokee chapter for putting on this event. It's been absolutely a total success.
pretty amazing the last few days to watch the success of the event, especially for our first annual show. So I'm looking forward to see where it goes in the future. All right, next up, I've got Mr. Mike Thompson with me. Mike is the president of the Diamond Chapter of the Antique Motorcycle Club of America, based here in Arkansas. So, Mike, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. This is just a great show. The Cherokee Chapter put on a great event here. And, you know, it's like 350 miles from us to come down from Hot Springs to here. But, man, we're really having a great time. We've got a lot of our members here, and I'm really surprised they wanted to go that far. They both of them don't. But we're having a great time, bud.
So what kind of events do you have coming up with the Diamond Chapter? I know you work pretty closely with the Cherokee Chapter and a few other folks. What do you have coming up on the schedule?
Yeah, we do coordinate with the Cherokee Chapter quite a bit because we're reasonably close to each other. Our one event for our club, we're kind of a small chapter. On the weekend after Labor Day, and this year will be September the 12th, we do an antique motorcycle show downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas, the end of Bathhouse Row, right in the middle of the open bike rally, so the whole town's full of motorcycles at the same time. And we usually have anywhere from 90 to 110 antique motorcycles only in this show. We don't do choppers or custom bikes. This is all antique motorcycles, and it's free to the public, and everybody just has a great time, man. So come on down. You can go to our website, which is www.diamondchapteranca.org, and get some information and get my phone number and you get a hold of me.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on the show. Next up, I have my good friend Kirk Sharp with the Just Kickers organization. Kirk, how you doing today? Welcome to the show, man.
Glad to be here, bud. Once again, thank you for having me on.
So, Kirk, I know you've got the Just Kickers event coming up at the end of May. We're actually publicizing that here on the air for you. Tell us a little about what you're expecting for this year as far as previous events with Just Kickers and what we can look forward to in the future.
Well, this year, Just Kickers has changed locations. We felt like we wanted to add some vendors and try to get a little bit of swap meet environment going there. And we've moved to the Ardmore Dragway, which is actually just north of Ardmore, right off of 35. Same theme, Choppers Bobbers Antique Motorcycle Club has came on board and supported me in this event, and I just want to thank them tremendously.
Now, Kirk, you've been walking around the last few days. Do you have any favorite bikes that you've seen or anything really spectacular that you've purchased or been looking at buying?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm like Steve Klein earlier mentioned. That I'm just overwhelmed with the motorcycle that I'm seeing here. And, yeah, how do you pick one? I mean, it's you just can't do it.
I would have to agree with you. Now, I guess getting back to your Just Kickers event, do you have any expectations of how many folks you're looking at for this year?
Well, typically, you know, the first year we had this event, I was overwhelmed with the participation. We had close to 350, 400 people and never got an accurate count. The second year event was a little over five, maybe closer to six. This year, I actually expect got a lot more attention. I've been supported by the Antique Motorcycle Club, the Cherokee Chapter. Of course, the social media, it just amazes me how things just continue to blow up. I talk to people that, hey, you know, you're Just Kickers, and I'll be 2,000 miles away from home. So I have a feeling the event's growing. We've decided to step it up and try to create more of a venue that, and we have a place now with a new location that we can expand. So I anticipate 800 people this year.
Now, we're going to take a quick commercial break in just a minute, but before we do, I wanted to ask you, do you find, as far as Just Kickers events, do you find that you have more younger folks or more middle-aged? What's really your spectrum there as far as interested people that show up?
Well, typically we've got the 25 to 35-year-old guys that are just learning and have a desire to learn about the vintage bikes. The chopper craze is most people will know, it's kind of peaked again. It's like old things just come back. But at the same time, these young men are they have skills, and they have the appreciation for the machine. And once again, it's the future of the AMCA. And I will say this, I've been an AMCA member for quite some time, but I'm proud to be a member of the Cherokee Chapter because they have really supported and they are encouraging the young folks to join.
Kirk, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. It's been great seeing you and catching up. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got a couple more guests. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey everybody, this is Pipes, voice of the Roadhogs and host of the Free Road Report, one of the great radio shows here on the Roadhogs Radio Network. And do I have something to tell you? Starting right now, you can enter to win a free set of Hashpipe slip-on exhaust system or a pair of hog gaiters. One entry is all it takes to win either one of these great products. You can enter for free every month throughout 2015 at theroadhogs.com. The drawing will be held late December, and winners will be announced in the Roadhogs Motorcycle Magazine and here on the Roadhogs Radio Network. Go to theroadhogs.com and sign up now. You have 12 chances to win and nothing to lose.
All right, folks, welcome back to Classic Chrome here on the Roadhogs Radio Network. Before we left, we were speaking with Kirk Sharp of Just Kickers, and we are live to you, coming to you live at the Pate Transportation Meet in sunny Fort Worth, Texas, here at the Texas Motor Speedway. It's a great event filled with antique cars and antique motorcycles, a big motorcycle show and car show, as well as a massive swap meet. It's been fantastic walking around the last few days, seeing some of the great vendors and displays out there. With me now, I've got show sponsor Mike Carson of Carson Classic Motors. And Mike, how are you doing today? This is actually my dad, so I'm really pleased to have him on. How are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm doing good. This is really kind of amazing to be sitting here doing a radio show with you. Not to go back to the memories or anything like that, but I can remember when we had a single car garage. I was restoring a 1967 PSA Thunderbolt, and you walked in. I think you're 5 years old. And I said to you, hand me that 9/16-inch wrench. And he looked at me with big 5-year-old eyes and said, what's that? Well, we've gone from there to here. It's really quite amazing, and I'm quite proud of you. You've got a radio show with 70-some thousand listeners, youth director of the AMCA, and you actually are a far better mechanic than I am. You know a lot more than I am, a lot more than I do. And we've had some really great adventures, and I think we'll have a hell of a lot more.
Excellent. So I know we've got a display out here. Tell us a little bit about the display you've got for Carson Classic Motors, some of the bikes you brought up, and a little bit about the shop.
Well, our shop really is a small little East Texas shop. We moved from the one-car garage. I built a 50-by-30 metal building shop, and that lasted for a few years. And then when the motorcycles got to the point where they were shoved together so we couldn't walk between them, we added on another area to the shop that was quite large. So we've got about a 3,300 square foot shop, a couple stands. We've got some tools and stuff in there, of course, and we've got a nice man cave, and it's grown quite well. We do some mechanical work in there. We do some restoration work. We've got about 80 machines. I think right now we've got about 30 we ride regularly. We've got about 40 or 50 that put gas, oil, and a battery in, and we can ride those also. And we've got about 12 or 13 projects hidden away in another garage that I hope to get to when I retire, if I ever do. Our display today is really kind of nice. We've got a lot of attention because people come by and they see everything from a very, very rare 1903 Rex. I think there's probably 12 or 13 left in the world, all the way up to our modern bike, which is a 1964 old-school Panhead FL. The nice thing about display is that people come by, they want to engage with us, they want to talk to us. We start motorcycles. We have a 1942 WLA original mileage of about 500 miles machine with a replica Tommy gun on the front. And every young kid that comes by, I snap them up and say, what's your name? Where are you from? How old are you? Would you like to sit on this World War II antique? And it just spins their head. They love it. I think what we're trying to do is, while I appreciate all my old gray-haired members of the AMCA, I really would like to see more of the teens, 20s, and 30s, by my standards, even the 40s young people get involved in this, because that's the future of our sport. All of these old motorcycles we got on display that we work on and we ride, I don't really want them going into museums and all of us gray hairs die off. We need young people in the sport. I think the Cherokee chapter in particular has done an excellent job trying to attract young people. So young people, when you come by our spot at any event, you come by Carson Classic Motors display, you see your bikes out there, you watch us start them, we ride them all, come on by and say hi, introduce yourself. We'll take you through our Cannonball race trail and machine shop, and just have a good time.
Now, the last question I have for you is actually about the 1903 wreck that you had talked about earlier. Can you tell us a little about that? Because we had mentioned it earlier in the program that it will be in the 2016 Motorcycle Cannonball. Tell us a little bit about buying the bike and the rider and all that.
Well, actually, there's a little story. It's called How Did We Get From There to Here on the 1903 wrecks. In 2010, you and I were sitting in our garage. Early 2010, we saw something being promoted called a motorcycle cannonball for 100-year-old machines. And you looked at me, and I looked at you, and you said, Dad, why don't we race in that? And I said, Son, why would we want to race a 100-year-old machine across country? And who is this guy, Lonnie? I have no idea who he is. And so we bought a 1911 Triumph. We tried to get it ready to run in 2010, but we didn't make it. We ran in 2012. You rode a 1927 VSA, and I took a used race car trailer. We made it to the machine shop. We had a bunch of Brits and an Aussie race with us on the 2012. It kind of got in our blood. Then we ran in 2014, and we had the largest crew ever, a lot of Cherokee and Spider Trapper members. We did quite well, largest team, best results. But what really the behind-the-scenes from there to here story is that a lot of what happened and made us successful was a guy named Steve Norton. He's a British friend of mine for 10 years. He came over in 2012 and volunteered to be our crew chief, mechanic, and driver. And it got in Steve's blood. He never really was on a motorcycle until he got Carson Classic Motors and the Cannonball. So Steve called me up after two Cannonballs, 2012 and 2014, being a crew chief, and said, Mike, in 2016, I want to race the Cannonball. I said, Steve, the machines are 100 years old or older. He goes, that's right, mate. We're going to Vegas, and we're going to buy a machine that's 100 years old. I said, okay, well, meet me in Vegas, and we'll go look. So Steve came out. We walked around, and I'm trying to get something that we can work on and pop up and make reliable. So I'm showing him single-cylinder and twin-cylinder Indians and Harleys, and he's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. His level of interest was basically nil. So I went to the bathroom and left Steve standing there. About 10 minutes later, I came out, and Steve was gone. So Buck came walking up, and I said, well, he calls Steve Uncle Steve. I said, where's your Uncle Steve? And Buck goes, well, Dad, I don't want to tell you. I said, Buck, where's your Uncle Steve? And he goes, Buck just shrugged his shoulders. He said, well, your Uncle Steve, he says, my Uncle Steve is up front on row two, Dad. I said, Buck, what is it? He said, Dad, I just don't want to discuss it. He goes, I know where this is going. And I said, okay, Buck. So I walked up to row two, and here's my good friend, crew chief, Steve Norton, laying under a 1903 Rex. Folks, if you've ever seen a 1903 Rex, you know one thing immediately. You do not want to ride that motorcycle 4,000 miles across the country. You do not. 2.25 horsepower. It has no carburetor. It's got an atmosphere breather set on the tank that you regulate fuel and air down to the motor. It's the most antique thing you could ever possibly look at and think about riding down the street and to the corner and coming back. So I looked at it and I said, Steve, no. Just no. And Steve looked at me, he says, mate, this is the one. I said, Steve, we're not gonna buy that. We're not doing a cannonball on that. Well, if you come by our display here at Pate, that 1903 wreck is sitting on the corner. Thanks to John Newman at Sagebrush Cycle and Jesse Law, they've been working on getting ready for the cannonball for us. So that's kind of an exciting story. Stay tuned. I actually think my friend Steve Norton is going to ride that across country on a 1903 Rex, and I think he has a doggone good chance of winning. So stay tuned on that one.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the program, and hopefully the show's going well for you. Do you have any favorite bikes you've seen here while you've been at the show?
I was at Shade Tree Fabrications last night. The bikes really weren't here at the show, but I saw one or two of those at the Handbuilt show, and they do some pretty amazing work over there. I really like those bikes. Everything over here at Pate, it's kind of like everyone said before, the favorite antique motorcycle that I like anywhere I am is the one that I'm riding on.
So you really can't pick and choose over here, because if you sit on a 1941 Indian and then you move to a 1920 J, they're all sweet.
Excellent answer. All right, well, thanks for coming on the show. The last three guests I have for you, we're going to go. We've got some more of our Cannonball members from 2014. And then we've got, with our next guest, actually Kyle Shoy from Shade Tree Fabrications. But you had one more thing you wanted to say?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Steve Klein, the Cherokee chapter, for making this possible. I'd like to thank Kurt Sharp. I'd like to thank Shade Tree Fabrications, and thanks for the party. It was most awesome. We had a great time. It was a little excitement there for a while, but it was a great thing. And I know I'm not supposed to say this on the radio, but you know what, son? We've come a long way with this. I'm really proud of you.
Well, thanks, Boss. Appreciate it. All right, our next guest is Kyle Shoy from Shade Tree Fabrications. Kyle, how are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be a part of this deal. It's a very cool event, and I'm just really happy that Steve invited me to participate.
So tell us a little bit about your shop, Shade Tree Fabrications, and then we'll kind of go into some of the things you specialize in and maybe talk about some of the upcoming projects and events.
Well, Shade Tree Fabrications is my, you know, I sell a lot of aftermarket parts for late model Harley, but, you know, my passion lies with early stuff. So I build custom bikes of every different style. I don't really have a certain style. I do wide tire stuff sometimes, and I do old narrow choppers, and I do, you know, I'm doing a shovel head for the Artistry and Iron Show. It's going to be an all, you know, pretty original vintage swing arm bike. So I do, you know, pretty much everything, but my bread and butter is an aftermarket line of parts that I make here in Texas, all Texas made, for late model Harley Davidson.
Of all the years that you've been in business, Kyle, what would you say that your favorite bike has been that you've built, or favorite project that you've been involved in is?
Well, probably my 1972 Triumph Chopper. It's kind of a good story. My friend Curtis Williams, I was out traveling around the country trying to, you know, promote my business and name, and my truck broke down in Nashville, Tennessee, and he gave me I couldn't afford to fix it. It was $2,000, and he handed the guy his credit card and said, just handle it, and said, Kyle, pay me when you can. So I got invited to do a show on country music television for the Buffalo Chip, and I called Curtis, and I said, hey, I want to build that Triumph for you for nothing. And so that's probably my favorite bike. He bought the materials, but I completely handmade that motorcycle out of stainless steel from scratch. It was a great time. And, you know, it's always the special stuff, always the special bikes. Right now I'm doing an Artistry and Iron bike for Bob K, which is another good friend. Always the special bikes that are for, you know, the neat stuff I try to do for friends so that, you know, that bike will always be around. I really have a passion for these bikes when you get to do the special stuff. So
I know you hosted a party last night, kind of the opening party for Pate as far as Cherokee chapter goes. Tell us a little bit about the party and, you know, kind of maybe some events you have coming up in the future.
You know, Steve said he was going to, you guys were putting this thing together, and, you know, I'm a huge fan of everything old. And I said, man, I'm across the street. I have to be involved. And I said, I'd love to throw a party and get all them old bikes over there and just see them and, you know, meet all the people that are in the chapter and from around the country. And so, you know, it was an honor to have, you know, John Parham in my shop and all these guys that, you know, I look up to and have known about all these years. So that was a great, you know, it was a no-brainer to do this party, and I will do it every year if they want me to. So, I hope next year it's even bigger. I'll just have to buy the neighbor's house, I guess. but upcoming, one of the things I did announce last evening is that I'm changing the name of my company. Shade Tree Fabrication is a hard name to brand. So as of, you know, last night, I launched Speed Foundry of Texas. It's going to be a decidedly Texan company that will everything made in Texas and you know, a higher end line of parts, and we're going to, you're going to be able to buy Justin boots on my website. You're going to be able to buy Pearl Snap with the Speed Foundry logo, you know, just apparel-wise, it's a branding, you know, thing, but also it was time to move, you know, forward from, I've been in this business for about 10, 12 years now, and I think I've gone beyond the shade tree. If anybody saw my shop, they kind of get that. So I got that coming up, and of course, like I say, doing some stuff for Artistry and Iron, building a really, going to build an old generator shovel with long fenders and pearl white for Bob, which is a tribute to his grandfather. He's, you know, he's one of my best friends. So that's good stuff. And then also doing a bike for Victory Official for American Iron right now. We shot that all week, trying to de-ugly, I guess. Probably shouldn't say that on the radio, but anyway, working on that and taking a new gunner and really making it into something, hopefully, that people can look at and say, well, it's an American-made bike, I can buy that.
Well, there you go, and congratulations on the new business move. The last question I have for you is, where can people go to find out about your shop and get in touch with you and exactly where you're located at?
The new website will be speedfoundryoftexas.com. Right now, you can still go to shadetreefabrications.com and check out all my parts, all my bikes. The shop, my shop is basically right here in Roanoke, right across the street from the Speedway. And it's, you know, it's a kind of a boutique shop in appointment only. Get on the website, shoot me an email. Love for people to come out and see what I got going on. You know, this whole deal has been a real honor, and I want to thank, you know, Steve and Joan Klein for just supporting the whole deal and, you know, helping put this together and letting me be involved. Great people. Everybody I've met here is just, like, top-notch, and it's just a big honor to be a part of it. And thank you for, you know, the interview.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for your time, Kyle. I really appreciate it. We're going to take our last quick commercial break, folks. When we come back, we're going to speak with our last two guests who rode in the 2014 Motorcycle Cannonball. But one thing I want to mention before we go for commercial is that the Cherokee chapter is known as the largest AMTA chapter in the network, but it's known as the chapter that rides. The slogan is We Ride, and that's evident by having 10 members of the Cherokee chapter who were in the 2014 Cannonball. So with that, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Trying to track down impossible to find parts for your vintage Harley? Need tech help? Look no further than Retro Cycle in Boonton, New Jersey. Owner Rob Nussbaum and his team of highly skilled staff can help get your ride back on the road quickly without breaking the bank. Retro Cycle specializes in repairs, complete restorations, metal finishing, plating, or parts orders. Retro Cycle is your one-stop source for help with your project. Located at 1 Mars Court in Boonton, New Jersey, and online at RetroCycle.com. You can also reach the fine folks at Retro Cycle by calling 973-291-8588 or check out Retro Cycle on Facebook. Retro Cycle, where everything old is new again.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We've got the last 10, 15 minutes of the show. This is Classic Chrome. I'm your host, Buck Carson, live on location at the Pate Transportation Meet at Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth, Texas. It's been a great few days so far. There's still more today, more tomorrow. If you're in the area, I encourage you to come on out to the Texas Motor Speedway and check out the event. The Pate Transportation event is just absolutely fantastic. It's massive. It takes up the entire speedway, pretty much, and you know, if you're in the cars or bikes or anything old, this is the place to be this weekend. So our last two guests for the show today, I've got with me Mr. Greg McFarlane and Mr. Scott Berg. These gentlemen rode in the 2014 Motorcycle Cannonball, and they were actually with the Carson Classic Motors racing team. It's an honor to talk to you guys. Welcome to the show. Let's start with you, Greg, and then we'll go to you, Scott. Just kind of tell us a little about yourself, your involvement with the Cannonball, and maybe some stories you want to share from the event.
I'm a member of the Cherokee chapter. You know, I got it. I was into motorcycles as a young man, and had a family and kids, and got out of them. And about 10 years ago, I got back into them, and been going strong ever since. I saw that Cannonball out there, and I said, "Man, that's something I want to do." So I live in Dallas, Texas. I was lucky enough to be hooked up with the Carson Classic Motors team, and that's about all there is. Had a fantastic time. And with all those guys, even Scott Bird.
Now, Greg, what year bike did you ride? Tell us a little about your bike and maybe some of the troubles you had with it, if really any major problems you might have had.
It's a 1926 Harley J. We put 74-inch flywheels in it and kind of made it a stroker J, so about 68-inch cubic inch motor. Kind of a hot rod. Dr. J, John Newman built the motor for me. And it performed superbly. As we all know, it's all the peripherals to the motor that end up going bad. So I had carburetor problems. I had regulator problems, generator problems. My float pivot for the float and the float bowl came out one day, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong until I got it back, and that was it. So, that's just normal stuff you deal with. The last day I had everybody's a high, this is the last day, here we go, it's not too long a day, and then my primary chain broke a mile out of town, and I didn't have a keeper to fix it, so luckily we had some floral wire, and I was able to tie that link on, and it lasted all the way through.
Greg, what was your favorite moment of the Cannonball, and then I want to kind of touch on after the Cannonball, I know your bike was stolen, one of the few that was stolen, but you got it back. But tell us about your favorite moment on the event.
Without doubt, I think we were in Tennessee. Scott Bird and I were riding together, and we got into some twisties and some hills, and Scott's bike wasn't as nimble as mine, let's say. So I said, "Scott, I'm taking off." And if, you didn't know you were coming around the corner or these hills. It was in farmland, of course, rural area. But you know what? Everything felt great. My bike was running fantastic, and I just opened her up, and I was taking those hills and turns, and I can't describe the feeling I had. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was a bike behind me, I knew it was some kind of European bike, but I couldn't tell, of course. I mean, I'm trying to keep my eyes on the road, but after about 5 or 6 or 7 miles of that, we got to a stop sign. This guy pulled up beside me. He was on a Brough Superior. And it was Revival Cycles that they had rebuilt. And I think Alan was riding it. He got off and he said, gave me a high five. He said, "Man, that was awesome." So that is my most memorable moment of the Cannonball.
Now, Greg, I know after the Cannonball right there in Tacoma, the day after the race, there was a theft where a truck and trailer and some of the bikes were stolen. Yours was one of the ones that was taken, but luckily it was recovered. Tell us a little bit about how that, how you felt when you first heard the news, because I think you had already flown back home and the bike was still there. What was going through your mind and kind of what are your thoughts on the subject now?
Monday, and I was at work Tuesday morning. And, man, that was when, you're tired, but until you actually get back into real life, you didn't realize how tired you were. And that about 9 o'clock that morning, I get a call from John Newman saying, the bike and the truck are gone. I said, yeah, right, John. Nice try. No, he says, "I'm serious." And I go, it was just like getting gut punched. And so after it happened, I talked to myself the next 2 days, I mourned and I said, "It's just the thing. We rode the hell out of those bikes. We got everything out of those bikes we were going to get." And so I was over it. And then, of course, they found the truck and they found the trailer, and then the bikes were in the trailer. But in between that time, I was thinking about all the temporary fixes I had made to that bike and how they held up, from the floor wire to the keeper to the coil mounted on the tank. And I wanted to go back and see how those all worked. And I said, I will never figure out or see that again. And that's when it really hit me. But it all ended up good. We got our bikes back, and I couldn't ask for a better ending.
Well, last question I got for you, Greg, is what advice would you give somebody that's looking to enter the motorcycle Cannonball? What would you tell them as far as how to approach the event and approach getting a bike or doing the event?
Well, first of all, I would plan, if you want to get in the plan of Cannonball, I would plan not to get into next for Cannonball, which you can't right now, but either getting into the following one or the one after that. I think a long-term type Cannonball, particularly if you don't have a bike, because that way you can look and take your time and get everything ready. And even if you're not familiar, you'll get familiar with the people who rebuild the bikes, put the bike together. It's hard to describe until you ride one what you need to do to prepare for one. I guess you could have a complete bike to ready to go, but mainly you want your extra carburetors, you want your extra generators, all the peripherals that you can get, and just be prepared to be prepared. Because you can plan for everything, and you're always going to have something that doesn't. But you know what? I did the Cannonball because I wanted to be a better rider on these old bikes, and I wanted to be a better mechanic with the old bikes, and I accomplished both of those goals. Now, Greg, the last question I have is, do you have any plans for 2016? Are you entered in the event? Do you have a bike to plan on riding?
I'm entered in the event. I do not have a bike to ride yet, so I'll wait and tell you later.
Well, there you go. Greg, thanks for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it. It's great catching up with you, as always. The last guest I have with me today is my good friend Scott Bird. Scott and I go back many years, and it was an honor to ride the Cannonball with him. Scott, how are you doing today, man? It's great to see you and great to have you on the show.
Doing great. Thanks for having me on here. I just want to let you know I was really hesitant about coming in. There's a sign posted on the door outside that says, "Caution, Stanley's naked inside." And I was really hesitant about opening that door. But they assured me that he may not actually be naked inside. And so they pushed me in the door anyway. Holy cow, what an event this is. If you're anywhere in the listening area, well, I guess the listening area is worldwide, but if you're anywhere in the DFW area, you got to come by and check this stuff out. This is just a fantastic event here.
So, Scott, if you would tell us about your involvement with the Cannonball. I know you rode a 1931 Harley V. Tell us about the challenges you had with it, as well as some of your favorite memories, and you know, so on and so forth.
There's not enough time left, but one of the biggest questions that a lot of my patients will ask me back in the office is, well, you rode that thing across the country. Did you not have any trouble? I said, oh, yeah, I broke down every day. But, you know, I was riding with the Carson Classic Motors team, and everybody took me under their wing. You and several of the others assured me that, you know, even a redneck dentist can ride in this thing, because we're going to be there for you to help you work on the bike, learn the bike, because I'm not a mechanic. I'll ride the wheels off of anything, but I'm not a mechanic. But I know pretty well how to troubleshoot an electrical problem on a VL now. So I've at least expanded my knowledge of that much. As far as favorite times on it, the whole thing is still a big blur to me. There's so many experiences, and it's just really hard to pick anyone in particular. I talked to Bill Redensel beforehand and asked him, because I'd done a lot of preparation, had the bike what I thought was ready, and I asked him, I said, okay, you've helped me out. I've picked your brain a lot. What's the last bit of parting advice that you would give me if you were going to do the Cannonball over again? He said, just enjoy the ride. He said, quit listening to the motor. Quit looking for stuff to go wrong. He said, it's going to happen, and then you just deal with it as you can. But just soak in the ride, enjoy the ride. And so, to me, that's what I tried to do. I went with the theory that ignorance is bliss, and I didn't know what was wrong with my bike when it would happen. And people were gracious enough to stop and help me along the way and get me back on the road.
So I understand you're entered in the 2016 event. Tell us a little bit about the bike you're building and your hopes and expectations for it.
Yeah, I'm entered in the 16. I'm on as new a bike as I can ride. I'm on a 16, which people don't think that's very new, but that's the newest you can ride. So I have to say, you know, I met Kyle before through John Newman. Kyle's actually helped me some with my frame. We had to do a little bit of welding on it and everything. And just a super guy, one of the most understated guys that you'll ever meet. And if you ever get a chance to visit his shop, then I'd highly encourage you to do it. But the bike that I'm riding, it's not a board tracker, but it's board tracker-esque. I will have a front suspension. I've got Springer front end, and I've I have a seat spring, but I'm running a Messenger racing saddle and a Bob rear fender, and no front fender, no front brake, and just hoping that my rear end will hold out for the majority of the ride.
Very, very well said. Do you have any advice for anybody looking to do the Cannonball, kind of like I asked Greg, and what would you change if you were had to go back and do the 14 over again?
As far as advice, I think the biggest thing is all in your preparation. You've got to get that bike on the road. You've got to get a minimum of 500 to 700 miles on it, set up the way you want to do it, ride it in the rain, ride it in the cold, ride it in the hot. I rode mine in 36-degree pouring rain right there around my house. Got a lot of crazy looks, but you had to do it because you don't know where the weak link is until you put it through all the paces. David Lloyd, who was on our Carson team, he was the epitome of preparation. We called him Mr. Spreadsheet because everything was on spreadsheets, and he went through and did absolutely everything. He was prepared for absolutely every contingency except two flats in one day. And so, I mean, you just have a hard time knowing what's going to happen. But the preparation is key, and just put the miles on the bike ahead of time. If you get 1,000 miles on your Cannonball bike before you ever show up, then you are headed in the right direction and got a good leg up on it. Having said that, I put almost 1,000 on mine, and we still ended up having to pull the heads in Daytona the day before we left. So you just don't know what's going to happen along the way, and just try to be prepared and try to be flexible and count on your buddies and other Cannonballers to help pull you through.
There you go. Well, Scott, I want to thank you for being on the show today. It's been a blast talking with you, catching up. Folks, that's just about going to do it for us here today. I don't want to keep you too long. I'd like to thank our programming sponsors. Today's program is brought to you in part by the Cyclomost Motorcycle Museum, Wheels for Time, Carson Class Motors, Retro Cycle, Georgia Motorcycle History, the Rocky Mountain Motorcycle Museum, and the Race of the Century. Now, don't forget, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this week, this weekend, come on out to the Texas Motor Speedway and check out the Pate Transportation Meet. I'd like to thank my guests for today, Mr. Steve Klein, president of the Cherokee Chapter, AMCA, John Parham of the National Motorcycle Museum, Mike Carson of Carson Class Motors, Scott Bird, Greg McFarland, Kyle Shorey of Shade Tree Fabrications, which is now Texas Foundry, I believe, or Speed Foundry of Texas. Kirk Shark of Just Kickers, John Newman of Statesboro Cycle, Mike Thompson, and everybody for listening in. So I really appreciate you folks, and we'll see you on Wednesday next week. We've got a great show lined out for you with Panhead Jim talking about his 1933 Harley-Davidson PL. So, all right, folks, see you next time. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends.